Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price. I'm here with Graham Vaughan, my producer. And of course, we were listening to what I thought was a very interesting debate. It's a debate on the economy. And we had Mr. Darcy Boyce from the Democratic Labour Party, Dr. Clyde Maskell from the Barbados Labour Party, Mr. Granville Phillips from the Solutions Barbados, and Mr. Bruce Hennis from the United Progressive Party. And a number of things came out of that debate, and I'm sure as we continue with the program that we will be able to discuss some of these things. It's now 12:15, so I want to take some of your calls because I know that you will be anxious to give your 2 cents worth as well. So we go straight to the phone lines. Good afternoon.
Sanka.
Yes, you're
Sanka,
on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Sanka. I was totally disappointed in today's debate.
Why is that?
It was 100% worse than what happened yesterday between the moderators. Yesterday, the moderators seemed to not be intimidated by any of the garbage that came from the different political parties. Today, David was like a pussycat. And I'll be honest, I was totally disappointed in David Ellis. I may end up being a loser for you guys on Voice of Barbados. I'll tell you why. David, he agreed to so many of the things that either Clyde or Espik Boyce was talking about. And Boyce, in fact, is a chartered accountant. I am a chartered accountant as well. And Darcy Boyce, he was a...
No, don't let's go down there being personal, talking about what he did. Let's just focus on what his input was on the debate, okay?
Input was not correct.
Okay. Why was it not correct?
Darcy Boyce, speaking strictly from a political perspective, he has no respecting what should happen as far as the community or the business aspects of the country go.
But Mr. Boyce is a politician now. And he is going to bring, the fact is, although we are discussing the economy, he is still looking at it from his political perspective, and he will give you the perspective of his party. So you...
That leads me directly to my point, and then I'm going to get off the phone. Mm-hmm. A lawyer speaks from two sides of the mouth, depending upon who defends, and same thing as Darcy Boyce.
Thank you very much. Let's take another call. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Sometimes the line is like that.
Good afternoon. You're on the air. This is Brass Tacks.
Oh, yes. I can hear you clear now.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I can hear quite clear now. So I was saying that last Thursday is a continuous act. So I'm not complaining, but I want the public to know. Other places suffer too.
All right, sorry, I don't know. What are you talking about? Because the person who answered the phone is not me.
My pardon?
The person you were talking to who answered the phone, you're now on the air. Someone answers the phone, and then you come on the air. So you're talking to two separate persons. So you need to start over again to say exactly what you're speaking about.
That's why I didn't hear it clear.
Yes. Go ahead, you're on the air, so you can speak clearly right now.
I'm on the air now.
You're on the air, yes. The whole of Barbados is listening to you.
I can go ahead.
Yes, you can go ahead.
Now, what I was saying, I generally don't complain, but it's overbearing that on a continuous act, but Thursday was the worst. It was like I don't know if to say a movie, but a terror one. Being in the bus terminal, waiting from home, which is Macaroni Village. I waited on a 10 o'clock bus, which didn't come. I waited on 11, which didn't come, till a quarter past. This is from out of Bormiston into town. Well, eventually we got one, me and others, about quarter to 12. You're going into town, you cannot get the 12:15 out, which sometimes don't come. When I got what I needed, which in, I didn't go to the supermarket, I didn't have to, I just went on the outside vendor, and by 1:30, I was back to the bus terminal to hear, this is what I heard, that a bus had left. But it is a bus that would not be, like you would say, you wouldn't be accustomed to it. But then eventually you would look for one around 2:30, which didn't come. Now me and others at 6:30 leave the bus terminal. When I say 6:30, I mean evening, you know. Leave the bus terminal after leaving home at that period of time. Hungry, tired, sleepy. The most important, I didn't get to my meeting that night because of getting home at 7 o'clock. Now, you will sit in the bus terminal. Other people suffer too, but let me tell you that day, society had two buses, one at 2 and one at 4:30. Rexall, Green, St. Jude, Q, College Savannah, as I named them, Martins Bay. And society in the same gate, it had two. And Bormiston never had a bus till 6:30. Now, could you tell me, if anybody in the right mind, what they have against Bormiston within Bormiston alone? It's Henley, it's Chegrove, it's Ashford, it's Massey Street. What is the problem with Bormiston bus?
Did you
it
take this?
That it would be making them.
But did you take this up?
It would take a few days.
Did you take this up
but
at all with the?
If they would do something better.
Yes, this sounds very, very sad to be waiting for such a long time. But did you take it up at all with the authorities there in the bus terminal? Did you speak to them?
And try to get that bus running through here.
All right. Well, look, thank you. What we'll try to do is to try to speak to, again, to the authorities at the Transport Board and find out exactly what is this perennial problem with these buses.
Well, come on. Everybody knows what the problem is. They ain't got enough buses. What? You know, everybody knows that. So I don't think that, you know, calling them now and asking them what the problem is.
It isn't my really problem. It's, for me, it's about the scheduling. Why is it if you have a whole bunch of people standing in a queue in a line for the Route 8 bus, why, and you don't have other long queues, why don't you be sending the bus over there? Why can't that be done? And we've had here on the program on more than one occasion where people, where callers have said they, where commuters have said they have heard the supervisors actually tell drivers, look, we need you to take a bus X or Y place, and the driver actually refuses.
So it's a management issue.
Precisely. So that's why I would want to hear.
It's a management issue, and it is rooted in the problems that the Transport Board has had for eons. Everybody knows what has been said about the Transport Board, especially since the 1980s, and it hasn't gotten any better.
That is really, really sad. But David, you just returned from the Lord Erskine Center with what I thought was a very, very interesting debate.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had this particular discussion on the cards ever since, and we couldn't veer away from it. And it's important because the economy, as I said earlier, is at the center of all that is happening here. But there are distractions. I thought that last night's political meetings have presented a journalist's nightmare within the context of Barbados's defamation laws and that sort of thing. When I listened to both political parties last night, there was so much that was said. I think that yesterday in our discussion on Brass Tacks Sunday, I did signal that I thought that this week was going to be the turning point in this particular campaign. And exactly what I said has come about, but I didn't even expect all of it last night. You've got these allegations which the Democratic Labour Party has been making against Ms. Motley's stewardship. I understand that Mr. Arthur might have had a news conference.
He did have a news conference.
And I didn't hear what he said in that news conference because I was so involved.
Well, he's very, very concerned, but the economy is at the brink. He's also suggesting that no government should be, no party should be offering hope, selling hope and selling false hope. And he goes on and makes a whole bunch of other accusations against Mr. Motley.
Okay, well that I suspect that you could see that was mm-hmm. going to come after the Prime Minister invited him to comment and to clear his name. So I don't know what the details are there, but there was quite a lot of focus on her stewardship at that meeting last night. It was a bit different from the first in the sense that it didn't get as far down into personal gutter talk, mm-hmm. but it focused on things that she did or allegedly did in government. And that we have to wait and see, because a lot of these allegations, it would be very dangerous for you to come to the conclusion just based on what one person has said. On the other side of the coin, the Barbados Labour Party at Oystens spoke about the Hilton situation, this allegation that they're about to sell out the Hilton before elections.
Yeah, and there's documentation to substantiate what they're saying.
They spoke about renewing the contract of the person who is running for the city, even though he's entered into politics. And to me, perhaps the more sensational allegations were those that were made against Minister Michael Lashley, mm-hmm. As it relates to the apartments at Exmouth. So we have a lot on the table right now. Then there is that situation which had been flagged some time ago by Chris Sinclair, and the fact that this African businessman has clearly signaled that he is going to take legal action for comments which were allegedly made on the campaign trail, and we've had the reaction of Mr. Sinclair. That is one to watch for from different angles. Will this blow up into such a central issue in this election campaign that it can divert us from other issues? So mm-hmm. we have quite a bit to talk about.
We certainly do. It's now 12:27. We have to take a break, of course, at 12:30. But I think one of the things that really came out, especially last night, and I'm wondering how far we can go with this, is that it's quite clear that some of the documents that were produced came from the PAC's meetings.
Well, I don't know how the politicians will dipsy-doodle with that. The more significant question is, to what extent is there truth to the allegations on both sides? Mm-hmm. And will that sway people? To what extent are you hearing something new or something old? I think that for the government side, if you have had all of this information for all this time, the question that would logically be asked, so why didn't you take some form of action? It can't be just about the politics. If you're so concerned about the state of the nation and making sure that there is proper behavior in public office and you're alleging otherwise, then why would you not have taken some action? Yeah. And fundamentally, what all of this is saying to us is that those who have been asking for integrity legislation in Barbados and for an improvement in governance are definitely on the right track and should continue to press for this, irrespective of who wins the next election.
I certainly agree with you. It is one of the major things coming out of that.